as we start a new year, I really believe that God is wanting to bring us back to the basics of the simplicity of life in God and some of the foundational rhythms of our day-to-day walk with Him that He wants to breathe life into, and He wants to maybe even give us direction in that we've never had before. I believe that the Lord wants to, through these things, He wants to rejuvenate, He wants to activate, and He wants to equip you in your faith. He wants to rejuvenate your faith, He wants to activate your faith, and He wants to equip you in your faith this year, in this time. And so I really believe over the next few weeks that God is going to bring us back to some of the essentials. And my prayer is even that there would be some simplicity to your walk with God, and in that simplicity that there would be clarity to your walk with God, to your faith with God. So that's my prayer for each one of you. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about prayer. And, you know, I'll say this. I don't, my desire isn't to give you some profound insight on why we pray or how to pray. I just want to read this passage that Jesus speaks on prayer. And more than anything, my hope is that you would have the courage to pray as we start this year. That you would have not only courage, but you would have the faith to pray as we start this year. Luke 11, this is what it says. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Say, shameless audacity. All right, you guys got that? Not because of friendship, but because of shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Some of you, you've been the one asking for bread. Others of you, you've been the one who's been saying, what is with your shameless audacity? So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11, which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this is about prayer. Maybe we need to just jump right in. Stuff going on. We'll let them pass for a minute. There it goes. I want to share a couple of things about this passage and give some application. The first thing is this passage starts with who's praying? Jesus. Jesus is praying. Okay? Prayer from the Savior. Jesus is in prayer, and in that we see something really significant. Son of God, Son of Man, connecting with his Father. There he was in prayer. We don't know what he was praying. We don't even know how he was praying. He was just in prayer. In a certain place. It doesn't even tell us what the place. A certain place. That's very descriptive, isn't it? But this is what we know. It says that when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So I don't know what Jesus was praying. I don't know how he was praying. We don't know where he was praying. But when he was done, his disciples said, "Teach us to pray like you pray." They saw Jesus praying, and they wanted what he had. They saw Jesus praying, and they said, "Teach us to pray." Just like John teaches his disciples, "We're your disciples. We want to follow you in this way." So it tells me that something about Jesus' prayer was working, active. They noticed in praying, they said, "We want to do that." How many times are we like, "Let me get in on this prayer meeting"? Not very often, probably. But here they were, and they said, "We want that." The request, though, it's not teach us how to pray. The word "how" is not, it's not in my translation, at least. I don't know. Maybe if some of you have that, this might throw the point out the window. But in my translation, it doesn't say teach us how to pray. It says teach us to pray. And I read that as a request saying, "Would you bring us into, give us direction in this area?" And maybe, interestingly enough, up to this point, Jesus hadn't spoken into the area of prayer. He had just done it. And they're like, "Okay, we want it." And Jesus is like, "Good, all right, good. Well, I can teach you. I can lead you in that." And this is what Jesus says. He gives them the Lord's Prayer, okay? I'm not going to go into that too much. There's two things he does here. He gives them the Lord's Prayer, and I believe that is the template for them. He says, this is sort of the direction for you, template. But then he gives them a parable. And in this parable, it's a story of a friend in need. It's a story of a friend in need, and he goes to his friend, and this is a story of persistence. He goes and he asks for something. It says that even though out of friendship he won't give it to him, because of his shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give him as much as is needed. Jesus tells this story. Okay, they asked, "Teach us to pray." And he says, "Here's the template, and I want to tell you a story, and I want to tell you what this story, how it's going to inform your prayer." In this story, he's saying, there's a way to pray that I want you to capture, I want you to grasp. And it's this praying in a way that's relentless. It's praying in a way with shameless audacity. And Jesus, at the end of this, he says, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When they asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," this is what Jesus said. "Go ahead, pray. Teach us to pray, Jesus. Pray." "Teach us to pray, Jesus. Pray. Ask. Seek. Knock, and it will be given." Jesus, his response is, "Go ahead, do it. And when you do it, there will be a response. When you pray, doors will be open. When you pray, you will receive. When you ask, you will receive. When you knock, doors will be open. So pray." I think this passage tells us that we ought not get hung up on how. That in fact, it's not how that we need. And if we get hung up on the how and we don't actually get to the what, then we're in trouble. Jesus is saying, go for it. Ask, seek, knock. It's the Father's delight to give. It's the Father's delight to give. But you need to ask. And this is what I want to say about prayer. I believe it's pretty simple in some ways. And I know we get frustrated in prayer. I know we feel like I don't know enough sometimes. We feel like I've prayed these things and they haven't come to fruition. All these different things keep us from praying. But I feel like Jesus is saying, persist. Keep going. As you start a new year, forget about what hasn't happened and continue to pray. Let your audacity be shameless this year. Because God, and do you hear the heart of the Father? He says, I'm longing to give you things if you will ask. I'm longing to give you good things, but you have to ask. James 4:2 says, you don't have because you don't ask of God. And what if, here's a question for us. What if there are things in our lives that God is waiting to pour out, but we haven't asked for them yet? See, I think we get in this place with prayer where we say, well, if he knows what we want before we ask, he knows what we need before we ask, then why ask? I'm not that good at math. Some of you aren't either. Don't try to add it up. Just trust him when he says, ask. He says, ask. There's things that he wants to give, but he's waiting for us to ask. In fact, there are things that we haven't apprehended yet because we haven't asked. And so the charge of this message is that as we begin a new year, that our prayer would be active. Don't worry about how. Just worry about what, that you're doing it, that you're asking, that you're seeking, that you're knocking. Some of you, you need God to bring rejuvenation in your prayer life because you've been tired because of what you haven't seen. And if you fix your eyes on that, you'll miss the voice of God in the heart of God saying, I'm ready to pour out. Keep going. Keep praying this year. I want to bring some clarity and specificity to the movement of prayer that I'm calling us to. I believe that this message applies to our personal time with God and to things that I have no clue that you need. And God wants to meet you in that place and he wants you to pray for those things. But I want to bring application to this for us as a body, as a family together. And I believe that especially as we start this new year, that there is a need for unity in prayer. The first application is on an individual level between you and God with the things that are already in your heart. But I believe there's a second application where we as a family of God, as we start a new year, there are things that we need to be asking God for together. And there's power in our corporate prayer. There's power in our collective persistence. So I want us to rally together. I want us to actually say together, yes, I will pray. Yes, I will ask. And let there be a collective petition, a collective persistence as we begin this year. And not for us, but for our city. Okay? I really believe that right now there's a call for us to intercede for Baltimore. Some of you, you've already answered that call a long time ago. You're like, finally, you're catching up to it. Okay? Well, some of us are slower than others, all right? Some of us don't have that intercession anointing just hovering over us, all right? By the way, Peyton, what you shared, it's about community, but it's also about prayer. Right? So it's about first community, opening yourself up to giving someone information so that they can pray for you. And then it's about prayer having its way and having its work. Simple but powerful. We've got some awesome intercessors in this house. The rest of you, you're called to pray too. The rest of us, we're called to pray too, okay? Don't leave it to the intercessors, because you're called to intercede as well. And I believe there's a collective movement that God wants to bring. So I want to mention a few things along those lines that I believe this week specifically I want to challenge us to be united in. Okay, I want to challenge us this week to be committed to praying together, and I want to challenge us this week to be committed to even fasting together. We don't talk about fasting that much in this place, but it's actually something that's really significant to me, that I really care about, and I've seen God move in significant ways, and I'm sure some of you as well have seen that. And this week, I want to invite us, as we pray, to fast as well, because in the Bible, when prayer is mentioned, often fasting is mentioned as well, because they go hand in hand. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew 6, he's talking about prayer, and at the end of the prayer, he talks specifically about fasting and the way to do that. And then also, there's another place in Acts 13, beginning of Acts 13, where it says they were all together and they were gathered and they were worshiping and they were fasting. And it was in the middle of that worshiping and fasting and praying that God broke through and he gave clarity in terms of their mission and direction. And when they were done, they sent out God's people to go on mission. So there's something about not only prayer, but when we fast and we commit ourselves to focus in prayer in that way, where we invite God's breakthrough. So some of you are like, I've never fasted before. I don't even know how to get into that. I want to say simply this, consider this week. As we move forward this week, I want to invite you to consider even just breaking from one meal for the purpose of being in God's word and praying. One meal a day. Some of you are like, one meal? I could do that. One meal a day. Oh, now it's getting real. One meal a day, okay? And I want to give us a few guidelines for prayer. We're going to close on that, okay? I'll say this. We're going to post some of this to the Facebook page. It's the Light Church group. If you're not a part of the Light Church group, it is a private page, mainly because people share personal prayer requests and things like that. We don't want it just to be open to anyone. So if you're not a part of that page, go on Facebook, look for the Light Church group. I think there's a light bulb icon logo that you should see. Join the group. You have to request to join it. Be a part of that. As the week goes, I'm going to invite you guys to post things that God's been speaking. Along the lines of these specific areas, we'll also be posting sort of directions to pray into each of these areas. But I want to give a few of these things, and we're going to close. Specific areas for us to pray for related to our city. I believe sometimes when we talk about praying for a city, it's so big and overwhelming and generic that we never really hone in on it. I really believe that God is calling us to pray into things surrounding the events that have taken place in the last 6 months in Baltimore. A lot of crazy stuff. Specifically, the Freddie Gray incident that's still ongoing and the effects of are still ongoing in our city. I want us to pray into some specific things that are really, I believe, all kind of tied into that in some way, shape, or form. Okay? The first one is, I really believe that God is calling us to pray for our government. And to pray for our leadership, in not only in Baltimore, but in our state, but especially in Baltimore. We have elections coming up. I don't know much about those, but they're coming up, I hear. We also have had a lot of transition and turnover since the events surrounding Freddie Gray in leadership in our city. And I do believe that God is doing something in that we may not be fully aware of. But I'll say this, in the last few months, for me, an area that I've been pretty, to be honest with you, uninterested in, government, I feel like the Lord has been speaking and giving insight into some of the ways that he's moving in our police department, in our local government, with our mayor, those kind of things. And I believe that he's calling us to pray into that even more and to specifically be asking that he would put the right people for this time in our city in leadership to serve the people, not to be served. So we're going to pray in regards to government. The second thing that I really believe that God's calling us to pray for is racial reconciliation in our city. This is the thing. The events that took place last year, they didn't come out of nowhere. There is an open wound right now in our city that's really a wound from way before last year. I remember early last year, I think, praying on North Avenue and Station North and getting to talk with a pastor in our city who's been here way longer than I have, and just hearing some of the stories about the rioting that took place 30 years ago and the effects, really the scar on Station North, or the scar on North Avenue that really splits right through our city. And that scar is not healed. And last year was a reopening of that wound. Not a new wound, a reopening of a wound. Because a lot of the things that have been connected to that issue, they've never changed. They've never been addressed. They've never been dealt with. And so where some people might be surprised, why is this happening? If you've been in close proximity to those issues, you know that it's not a surprise. And so I believe the Lord is actually wanting us to pursue and pray into the issues at hand, central to that being we need reconciliation in our city. And it needs to start with the church, praying for walls to be torn down, church to church, especially along racial divides. Three more things. This one's pretty obvious, just praying against violence, poverty, and a drug culture in our city. And setting records last year. If you look at from that event to the end of the year, it was just this speeding up of violence in our city, like a spike, an increase, because there's pain that hasn't been dealt with. So we need to pray into those things. I believe this is a big one, praying for our education system and praying for our youth. Central to the rioting is young people who are hurting. And it's connected to things that they've been born into. Don't even know anything different. We have an educational system that is completely broken here. And if you don't have the ability to get outside of it, you're at the mercy of it. I believe God wants to break into that. I believe central to healing in Baltimore, God is going to move in our youth. And so we need to pray and we need to believe that actually the work that God wants to do in restoring and bringing wholeness in Baltimore, that central to that, I believe young people are going to be vital. I believe actually God is calling us as a church and as the church to believe what's possible in the lives of young people. We've seen it on the negative. Do we believe it on the positive? Do we believe that redemption can reach so much further than we think with young people? Last thing. While I was away in Louisiana, it was really odd. I'm watching, there was a gazillion football games on, so I was probably watching some random team I never heard of because they were just playing game after game after game. In the middle of one of those games, there was this commercial that came on, and this guy's talking about this book he wrote. The book was called We've Seen the Future and It Looks Like Baltimore. It was the weirdest thing. And let me tell you, the book, it wasn't light and fluffy and positive. You get my drift? And I got really upset. I was with my brother-in-law, and I hear this commercial. Like, he's like, we don't want this happening, blah, 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 and you need to buy my book. It's called We've Seen the Future, and It Looks Like Baltimore. I'm like, who are you, buddy? And I told my brother-in-law, I want to punch that guy in his face. And he's like, you're a pastor. You're not supposed to say that. I'm like, no, I mean it. I got really upset, and I got offended thinking about our city. And I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is, but he wrote a book. It's called We've Seen the Future, and It Looks Like Baltimore, and he published it in November. This is what I want us to pray, the last thing. I want us to pray for our city and for the healing and the wholeness that God wants to bring. And this is what I believe. I believe he wants to take that word and flip it upside down. I believe that people will say, we've seen the future and it looks like Baltimore, but they're not going to be saying it in a negative sense. They're not going to be trying to get us to buy the book out of fear that the rest of the world is going to turn out like Baltimore. I believe actually, and people have been saying this, so it didn't start with me, but people have been saying this and believing that God is in fact wanting to bring a change in this city that will create a ripple effect across our country. And people will look at Baltimore and we say, we've seen the future and it's bright. We've seen it. It's in Baltimore. Will we pray into that this week? Will we pray for hope to come from this place? All right. So this week, we're going to pray into those things, and we're going to dedicate a day for each one of these. And there might be other things, and you can post it to the Facebook page. I want this to culminate with Saturday. Convergence is on Saturday. If you didn't hear that announcement, Convergence is a citywide prayer event that's happening this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's 14 hours. You don't have to stay for all of it. You can come and go and come and go and come back and go again. It's going to be at the Village Church in Hamden. I really do believe there's something about to break, and we get to be a part of it. The lights leading the early set, 8 a.m., 8 a.m., the early set. The first set, 8 a.m. I want you guys to be there. We're kicking it off. And my prayer is that actually this week we will be riding the wave of momentum, and Saturday will just be the culmination of that, okay? So be a part of the Facebook page. Get in on that info. Join us in prayer. Fast if you can, okay? If there's questions about that, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's do this. Let's work that out before we leave tonight, and we'll put that also on the Facebook page as well. And if you're not on Facebook, I'll make sure we get an email out with this information so that you can be a part of it, okay? All right, let's pray. We're going to take communion and wrap up in worship here. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
So I just wanted to share a picture that God gave me, because it's I've been, you know, praying for Baltimore, and during worship, during the conference, I saw a picture of a wall, like a round wall. I guess kind of like someone shared later about Jericho. I guess it's kind of like that sort of thing, a wall, and I felt like it was the enemy's wall around Baltimore, and I saw it crumble, and I saw, and it was like in the picture, actually, I was in the middle of, and I was just dancing on top of the crumbled wall of the enemy, and God was saying his kingdom is advancing, and his kingdom is tearing down the strongholds that the enemy has had in this city for years, and those strongholds are falling. And maybe we're yet to see it in the natural, but I really believe that there is a turning point. And so I do want to encourage you all, like John was saying, to pray, because God is bringing the victory. Our God is fighting for this city.
Amen. Yeah. How about that? How about when our prayers become offensive, not defensive? See, actually, because Jesus said that I'm going to build my church on this rock and the gates of hell will not prevail. Who has the gates? Hell. Hell. Hey, I've been in Louisiana for a little bit. Yeah, it just came out a little bit. I'm gonna start. Hell. The gates of hell will not prevail. Who's trying to keep the move of God out? Hell. See, we thought that we had the gates and we're trying to keep the enemy out. No, it's the exact opposite. So when our prayers become offensive, that's when the enemy will not prevail. All right, let's pray into that. Jesus, we thank you. The victory is already won. We are praying this week from victory, believing it to be here in this place, just as you promised, just as you paid a way for it to be so. I thank you that you chose in your church to be on the offensive and bringing your kingdom and taking territory. Embolden us this week, God. Give us prayers of faith. Give us prayers beyond ourselves, God. Help us, each one of us, to ask boldly, persistently, audaciously this week. Unite us in that by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe, Lord, we're going to see it sooner rather than later. We're going to see it. We're going to see the walls crumbling. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come to your table tonight to receive the victory that we're praying from. When you were on the cross and you said, "It is finished," you were declaring the victory. You were declaring what had been accomplished through your work, through your sacrifice. We thank you for that. We praise your name. Amen.